There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Stephen, when I spoke to you previously, you mentioned that you were going to go all in on this. And I suppose my question to you is, what does all in look like?
Well, I spent the summer in Bath in 2006. And I researched the Magdalen Laundries. And I decided at the end of the summer that I was going to fly back to Ireland and essentially immerse myself in, I suppose, the different places that had different Magdalen Laundries. And it was during that time that I just remember saying to myself, I want to make a documentary about these women and I want to tell the women's stories from a modern day's perspective. What that looked like, what that felt like, I had absolutely no idea. I was just a young 22-year-old walking around the town thinking to myself, I am going to make this incredible documentary. I had no camera crew. I had no production crew. I had no sound engineers. I had no funding. I had no women. I had no place to start. I didn't see any end in sight. But all I knew was that I wanted to make a documentary that people would sit up and take notice of those women. And I think luck was on my side because the more time I spent online with the survivor groups, the more trust I built up with their family members and the women that were on that. And they gave me a number of a woman who was trying to get justice for what she had suffered. So naturally, I rang the number. And I got talking to a survivor by the name of Maureen Sullivan. And over the next few weeks, Maureen and I would have very long chats about her time in the Magdalen Laundry, why she ended up in the Magdalen Laundry, and what her experience was.
Stephen, I'm sorry, we have no more interruptions.
No, you're perfectly fine. It makes no difference.
I said to my mother, right, I was having a few problems with my stepfather.
Okay.
And not as they're being made out in letters.
Yeah.
That's totally wrong.
Yeah.
I was having problems with my stepfather. There was children being born one after the other.
Yeah.
In my mother's second marriage.
Yeah.
And I said to my mum, I said, look, I would do better if I went out to Binnicarry School, which is only 3 miles out the road to my grandmother's.
Yeah.
And my mother agreed, and she said, I said, but you'll have to tell the nun. So she went down and she told Sister Veronica, and Sister Veronica said to her, no, not at all. I have a great school for Maureen. Now, I remember them words to this day.
Yeah.
Now, she believed that nun fully in her heart that I was going to New Ross to be educated, and no one could tell my mother different.
Now, I'm going to just have to take a second here to explain to you, I suppose, the complexity of Maureen's story. So just bear with me. Maureen was a 12-year-old girl. She was going to school in County Carlow. Her dad had died. Her mom had remarried. Stepdad didn't really take too much to the first family, which is Maureen. And it is suggested by a nun in Carlow that Maureen would get a better education going to this other school. So the other school is in New Ross, County Wexford, and Maureen is brought there, and as she arrives there, she is then told that she's not going to go to school, she's actually going to work in a Magdalen laundry. But she would sleep in a place called St. Aidan's Industrial School. And in the morning, she would wake up and a nun would come over and bring her across down a corridor, right down underneath a tunnel, all the ways over then up into the the Magdalen Laundry. She would work by day in the Magdalen Laundry, and then at night time, when the women finished, she was brought back from the Magdalen Laundry, back underneath the tunnel, up into the corridor, and over into St. Aidan's Industrial School. Why that is important is because in 1999, when Bertie Ahern gave the state apology to survivors of industrial schools, it was made clear that anybody who was a resident in an industrial school would be entitled to receive compensation for what they suffered or what happened to them in this place. However, Maureen only had a record to show that she was in the New Ross Magdalen Laundry, and then I took it upon myself to try and link the two. How do you prove that she was actually in both places? And if you go and look at the Ryan Report and the Residential Institutional Redress Scheme and how that was set up, they make it clear that if you slept in an industrial school but worked in a Magdalen Laundry, you were deemed to be a resident in the industrial school. And if that was the case, it would mean that Maureen was entitled to substantial compensation. In a way, this was my eureka moment. This is what I was searching for. This was the premise of the story that I was going to tell, of this injustice that Maureen and other women were suffering.
Can I ask, how did you go about proving it? And what relationship did you end up building with Maureen?
I spent about 3 years working with Maureen to help her prove her story. And at the start, it was quite difficult because there was just a wall of silence. And that was really disheartening because I suppose I went into it thinking, perhaps being naive, that this was all going to be very straightforward. But I quickly realised that the religious order, the Good Shepherd nuns in particular, were going to be hugely difficult. And every time Maureen reached out to them to try and get them to listen and to understand her story, they always said that that could never have happened. So I said to Maureen that we'd arrange one more meeting with the Good Shepherd nuns. But this time I'd film it. I'd secretly film it because it was so important to show people that they weren't believing or listening to survivors.
But I'm not saying that I'm not saying your memory isn't right. Mm. But what I would be saying is, like, it's very difficult for a little, at your age, to remember what I did at 12 years of age. Mm. The children in St. Aidan's were totally distinct from the ladies in St. Mary's. Okay. What we need to get clear is, we, you know, just for your own sake, Maureen, that you would not have slept in St. Aidan's and worked in and be in...
And no other girl worked in St. Aidan's and in the Magdalen Laundry.
No. But what I just want you to kind of think that you did not sleep or get your meals in St. Aidan's.
I think after that encounter, it was very difficult for myself and Maureen to reconcile with the fact that the religious orders just didn't believe her. So then one day I just said to her, look, why don't you just take me back down to New Ross? Take me down to the laundry and show me. Show me what you saw when you were 12 years of age.
Yeah, up here,
so
this
what's
is
up
where
here?
I slept. This is the place where I've slept. Now,
what's that? Is that the Magdalen Laundry?
That's St. Aidan's.
All right.
Down along here is the corridor where you go down along, down into the convent and down into the Magdalen Laundry. There is a connection there, even though they're saying there's no connection. It's all of the one.
All right.
The nuns wasn't in any different cloaks or different uniforms up here.
Oh, you're saying...
They were the same nuns, Good Shepherd nuns.
And what, did you, do you remember any of the nuns or anything like that, or...?
I remember a Mother John because of the name John stuck in my head, but we never called them Mother Trees and Mother anything. It was just Mother.
Yeah.
But you would hear the other mothers calling them by their first name. And I remember Mother John because the name stuck in my mind because it was a man's name. I thought it was quite strange.
Maureen, you're having a laugh.
Yeah. I wish.
Are you, like, honest to God, you're brought down here in the
dark? Well, it's here. You're here and you can see it, yeah. It's here. I didn't make it up. I mean, the place is here.
That is scary.
But this does not exist. This tunnel does not exist. I'm making it up.
And it was just within that moment and within that time that I thought, bingo, there's a story here. So when you say to me, what's all in? It's essentially taking that story that she told me and analysing it in such a way that I could bring it to a wider audience and for the wider audience to understand it. And then I just remember talking to Maureen one day and goes, but if you were confirmed with those girls, would there not just be a register showing your confirmation certificate? So I rode off to the parish church in New Ross, and then they came back and they confirmed that Maureen was confirmed with those girls. And once I had that evidence, that piece of information, I knew that by submitting this back to the redress board, it was going to be in Maureen's favour to do so. And I wrote a 4-page letter explaining and outlining the complexity of Maureen's story and the evidence and information that we found as we worked on that story. And I asked him to reconsider Maureen's case. And then it was just a case of waiting. Waiting to see if she would secure the justice that she had been seeking and wanting for so long.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.